having a relaxed cultic one.
Don't
a nice calm episode of cultic one today.
I can't even get that mad at you because the amount that I bully you, it's fair, but I hate it.
Take your pills.
Oh my god.
Sorry, it's an A-team. I couldn't resist making an A-team quote and I couldn't remember any details about any of the characters besides Mr. T.
So. Samuel Jackson was not in the A-team, man.
So that was an A-team reference?
It was
does Mr. T not just like swear like an absolute
No, it's no. It was a PG show. It was
like broadcast TV.
Yeah, but I thought he used like budget offline swear words.
PG the Foley.
Hurry up, Justin! Introduce us!
Here we are now! Introduce us!
Oh, I get it now.
Welcome.
That's smells like team spirit.
Yes.
Not dangerous. What the hell are you thinking?
Welcome to the
It's the poppy seeds, guys.
Yeah. Welcome to the classic Cult TV Club, where we watch Cult TV from 20 years ago and before, and we're here with fellow cultists, Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hello.
Lisa.
I pity the fool.
Cassandra.
I'm a fool city pity.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
Justin loves it when a plan comes together.
And I love it when a plan comes together. I'm Justin, and we're watching The A-Team today.
Yay.
And, you know, very probable hate watch.
Yeah, because, like, literally the only thing I know about it is that B.A. Baracus, Mr. T plays B.A. Baracus, and his line is, I pity the fool. Uh-huh. And that's the only thing I
thought you were going to say that Barack Obama.
No, B.A. Baracus.
So you actually know something about it.
Yeah, that's the only detail I know.
I know those two quotes I said, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episode we're watching is Season 2, Episode 19, Chopping Spree.
There's a chopper in it, I'm guessing.
Get to the chopper! Yeah.
No, that's Predator.
Chopping spree?
Chopping spree. Yeah.
Or is it like at the show when they've got the wood chopping things and they... Yeah.
The A-Team is this pretty bad mid-80s American TV show, 1983 to 87, I think it was. Five series. It's
they made it to five?
Yes, endless.
They had very low quality standards in the 80s.
Yeah. The reason it sort of qualifies as a cult TV is it's just referenced so often. It's just in everything.
It's definitely cult TV.
It was like right up there with Charlie's Angels and things like that. It's that kind of thing. It's that.
It affected so many things following it. The idea of a group of misfits that work together to achieve some result, and they've got madmen in there and tough guys and all this kind of thing. There was a show called MacGyver.
Oh, yeah. That's one we need on the list.
And these two shows, it's a standard TV show, and then they have this segment where they just make something ridiculous at the end.
Oh.
And MacGyver does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just they have the...
Makes called, a bomb out
it's
of
called the 18
bands.
Montage. Yeah, it's called the 18 Montage. And so they would play the music, do-do-do-do-do-do, and that music became synonymous with doing the 18 Montage. To the point where I think even, you know, some modern comedies just play it over the top of people making things.
Yeah. I think IT Crowd makes
it. IT Crowd does it. First episode.
And also it's like one episode of Spaced where they end it with a rave where they play a remix of the A-Team song thing.
Yeah, so it's basically these guys who are supposedly Vietnam veterans. They were accused of some crime and they escape and become mercenaries and ride around in a high-profile van that advertises
the mystery mobile.
The mystery mobile.
You're hiding from the authorities,
yes. But you've got a high-profile van and a multicolored van, and they go around being do-gooders. Just like American TV.
So it's a bit like an early version of Leverage. Did anyone watch Leverage back then? Yeah.
I'm watching
Leverage
now.
That was like a hacker and a grifter, and they were all bad guys and they've turned good, you know?
Has anyone actually watched A-Team before?
No.
I've seen the movie.
No.
You've seen the movie.
You've seen the movie, the most recent movie.
Yeah, yeah, that was a movie. Like
recent movies,
yeah.
Movies about 20 years ago.
2015 or something?
Nah, it wasn't that. It was, yeah, 2010-ish, I want to say. Yeah, yeah, I saw the movie.
Didn't that have Liam Neeson in it, didn't it? He was the head guy?
No, it wasn't Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah, no idea.
It had Bradley Cooper in it. I think it was Bradley Cooper. No, no, it wasn't Bradley Cooper. It was the South African guy who's... I don't know if they're South African, but they play South Africans and everything.
2010, the 18.
Yeah, 2010 sounds
Liam Neeson.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. Hey, how are you?
Well done. Quentin Jackson.
Bradley Cooper, yeah, yeah. Bradley Cooper, yeah.
Patrick Wilson is the film's villain.
Oh, Patrick Wilson, isn't he from like, Friday Night Lights or something?
God, hold on a moment. I'm going to have to look up faces again. What are you doing to me? Patrick Wilson.
That's so wild because I've got an entirely different cast for the movie. I've got, like, Trey Parker, Matt Stone, Kirsten Miller.
No, that's
Miller.
Team American. Yeah. Team American. Team America is definitely borrowed a lot from A-Team. It was that America F yeah kind of, yeah. That kind of aesthetic.
It was supposed to be a sort of Dirty Dozen, Mission Impossible, that kind of thing.
The anti-heroes that come anti-heroes, and save the day.
Yeah.
Very much that, is it Reagan era? It's like that.
It's that kind of thing.
That kind of era.
Yeah. And let's see, the characters, it had the sort of brains behind the outfit, George Papad.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah, 83 to 87.
Yeah, it,
I have watched an A-Team.
Yeah.
And I think this is episode. Kind of...
So George Papad as John Hannibal Smith. It had Dirk Benedict as Templeton Peck, who's the face guy.
We're no longer talking about the movie, are we?
No, we're not talking about the movie. No.
God, that's a whole new IMDb search.
And there was this fellow that was just in every TV series as a madman.
Okay.
And so he sort of started, if you like, I guess the madman...
The loose cannon type of thing.
The insane guy who would be in so many different shows. And the follow-on to that individual is Brad Dourif, who...
Brad Dourif. Look him up, you would know him from so much.
He was in Babylon 5.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He is the voice Babylon of 5? Chucky from Child's Play.
Yeah.
He's in everything.
So this guy's name is Dwight Schultz.
Okay,
so he's one of the main guys.
No, he's not in this episode.
Why are you doing? I thought I was here to see Brad Dourif.
No, you're going to see his predecessor. Whose name is Dwight Schultz.
So apart from naming every actor like you, every damn episode. Yeah.
Boring. Skip.
And then there's Mr. T.
Mr. T.
Yeah. What does A-Team mean to you?
Character that
like, why did you pick it? What's the go here? Did you used to stay up late watching it?
It was a connection to the show.
Okay, for me, it was one of those shows that you would just watch after school kind of thing.
Cheese
TV for kids.
Sure,
okay. In the 80s. You were in school in the 80s? Mid to late 80s?
No, he wasn't.
Well...
I was going to say, you're pretty damn old.
Yeah, 83 to 87.
I thought it was earlier than that. I did think it was on... before I left Australia, so I'm surprised.
So what's your memory of the A-Team, Jeanette? Because you also would have grown up watching it in school like Justin, no doubt.
No. I've heard of it, which is why I'm surprised that it was 80s and not 70s, because I certainly never watched it. I have avoided it.
Yes.
Until now.
You'll work out why in a second.
So Adrian has very minimal memories of his childhood, like in a way that it concerns me whether it's trauma. But the only thing I seriously remember so many 80s references of pop culture in my childhood, and he just has, and he's like, I don't remember my childhood, and I'm like,
some people just don't remember.
It was almost like this is information I don't need, and my cash just cleared it. But the two things he remembers is the A-Team and Airwolf.
Right.
Which is that era as well. That was the one about the helicopter.
I think this is best friend Luke, who you'll never meet. Does the exact same thing.
Yeah. He does not remember any of high school or primary school. He just doesn't remember school at all. And I'll bring up things to him and he'll be like, I said that. And I'm like, and he'll completely no clue at all.
I just don't know whether that's not... I just remember so much from my childhood.
It could be an ADHD thing, admittedly.
What, remembering or not remembering?
Not remembering.
He doesn't have an ADHD.
Are you sure? Have you seen the man? Luke, husband. Not your husband.
I was going I have seen the man on and off for 25 years now. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have ADHD.
Maybe you guys should get in a relationship, get married or something.
Maybe we should. Maybe, you know, have people kids. Keep asking if we're going to get married, have kids. I don't know. Yeah. We'll get there. We told everyone the more keep asking, the more we're going to hold off. So,
has anybody else seen it at all?
No.
Not beside the movie.
Basil's
seen an episode.
This will be much worse
than the movie. I've seen an episode.
You've seen an episode.
Yeah, at least one.
This would be, if I ever saw this on, I would turn the channel. I'd probably look at a blank screen of this. Yes, me too.
Watch the old TV static.
Yeah, that little white dot in the middle. Yes.
This is very likely to be a hate watch.
If this is going
to
be worse than the movie, we're in trouble. Because the movie was like... It wasn't great, but it was really the equivalent of the G.I. Joe movie that came out at the same time. There were kind of a lot of movies in this vein.
It would probably have more character than that.
The movie definitely had more character than the G.I. Joe movie, but...
No, I'm talking about the TV series having more character than the movie, probably.
I definitely preferred the TV series over the one episode I watched that I can barely remember.
Have you seen the movie as well?
Yeah, I really liked the movie. I liked what's his name, swinging on the...
Spin Me Right Round.
Yeah, I loved it. Big fan.
Spinning on a helicopter blade.
Spin me right round, baby, right round.
They're all meeting each other, and everyone else is like, "Who the hell is this lunatic? Why is he a pilot? Are we trusting this guy?"
What a fun and friendly way to introduce someone that you've got to trust, put your life in their hands.
I mean, just pretended to be a doctor and stitched one of the guy's arms after the bullet grazed them, and he stitched it in the shape of a lightning bolt. And I'm like, did you ask for a lightning bolt? Did I ask for a what?
Yeah. All right, shall we watch it?
Let's rip
this band-aid off.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Okay, so we just watched The A-Team. Angus, what do you think?
I pity the fool to watch this as a child. Honestly, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be. It wasn't great. I probably wouldn't sit down and watch it, but it was okay at times.
I liked it. It felt very nostalgic. And I think I enjoyed it more after you realised that what's his name was
Lieutenant Barclay. Was the mad... Yeah. Maddock or whatever his name was. They didn't really introduce the characters very well.
No, they didn't.
No.
No.
I guess you don't need to when you've done 100 episodes of a series.
Yeah.
Expect everyone to know them.
Lisa, how did you feel about it? We normally do the what did you think about it?
Yeah.
If you're going to crunch, then maybe we should cast. What did you think about it?
Warm me up.
Definitely feels like they're just trying to throw whatever they could to make it work. Like, oh, here we're going to say fight scenes, head shaky cam to hide the fact that they weren't fighting properly. And the fact that I could see the writer's room, we're trying to think of it. Okay, what wacky stuff can we make the weird guy say? There are definitely scenes where, like, if they had more than four members, they wouldn't have gotten caught, or they wouldn't have been, would have had the plan actually go properly. But if they had more than four characters, then average 80s TV audience member would probably be confused as to why the 1,000 people in their dating.
To be fair, I have no idea why Barclay, I don't know the character.
Howling Mad Murdoch.
Mad Murdoch.
Played
by
Dwight Schultz.
Yeah, Mad Murdoch. I don't know why he wasn't with the others when they, because they broke into a warehouse, they captured all the staff and then got kind of outmaneuvered by three goons.
Yeah.
But they got outmaneuvered by three goons and Murdoch just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why was he not there? That was kind of considered to be the big maneuver.
Why was he stealing road repair truck?
And it sets up
to kind of do his own thing, though, and he's like the random ace in the hole, though. Like,
he just goes rogue. That's what we love about him. He goes completely off plan. No, that should be a really great reason to not have him as part of the team.
Yeah.
But he seemed to know beforehand what was going to happen, that his team was going to be captured. Even though there was no way for him to know that. They didn't know that there was a second gang of goons involved at all. And yet he was there to outmaneuver them.
I think this is called bad script writing.
When I didn't see him, I just assumed he'd, as everyone hopped out of the car to capture the goons in the worksite, that he'd just immediately beelined to the van and just go, I don't care about them. Where's my plan? And so I was expecting him to just step out behind the second reinforcements of bad guys and just stick them up then, as it were.
Plant vengeance, you know, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Like but that he was just Keanu Reeves doing his own
thing. So how did you feel about it? You said you were going to crack your knuckles.
I did crack my knuckles, but it didn't crack. I was just like, oh,
that's
man.
That's okay. That gave me the excuse crunch, to pivot to cash.
Yeah, no, look, I was not here for this.
I noticed on your phone.
And you know what? There were so many times where I went, oh, I've got to put my phone down and really concentrate. And then I just went, no, I'm just... not,
you know.
Look, and I have to be honest, this type of show is the opposite of
the antithesis
of my interest in any shows.
Absolutely.
Action for the sake of action, macho bullshit. I'm just not here for any of it. And you know, it's not clever. They're not being clever. You know, like we were comparing it to Leverage. I like Leverage because Leverage is clever. This doesn't feel clever.
Yeah, and also I think the comparison of I could tell because it hadn't been the end of the show yet, that there was something going to happen when they went to the chop-chop to get captured. And because I'm used to watching Leverage, I assume, oh, they look like they're failing, but actually succeeding.
Exactly, that's what they used to do. Part of the fact is making the bad guys think that they're losing, but they actually put that into the plan. Mm.
Which I think they were trying to get at with Murdoch being on location, but it just didn't work in the script.
No. Look, there was two things I know about the A-Team, and that is they say... pity the fool, and I love it when a plan comes together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They didn't say any of those, did they?
No.
I missed that. And I'm like, the two things I know about the show they didn't do.
That's series four.
The only thing I found interesting about it was when, Mad Dog was being mad as hell.
Oh,
and I was just like, oh, yeah, cool, that's funny. But I'm like, dude, calm down about the bloody plant man, because there's mad, and then there is
bad
writing.
Yeah, bad writing.
And they kind of infantized him. It was a bit weird. And it's like, this isn't your A-Team, because, dude, this guy is just should not be part of the team, because everything they were doing, really, he didn't need to be part of that.
They clearly didn't trust him with a real firearm, because his water pistol was just his gun. He didn't steal that from someone else. He didn't go, I'm going to buy a dummy pistol. That was just the one he had on him. So
you know my highlight of the show was Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue and one of the coolest music videos of all time, Goodbye Earl. Does anyone know?
No.
Dennis Franz got popular through a show called NYPD Blue in the 90s. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Never watched it, but that's how I know him. But he was also in the Dixie Chicks, had a song called Goodbye Earl, which is basically about these two girls from high school who then kept in touch. One of them went off to find fame and fortune, and the other one stayed in the hometown, married Earl. And it was basically like a domestic violence relationship. She ends up in the hospital. Her friend comes back home to see her friend in hospital. And they decide Earl's going to die. And the song is literally this country western song about, goodbye, Earl. We're going to kill you. And it's the music video has Dennis Franz in it and is worth watching. Totally worth watching. But
I saw a meme about this.
Yes.
Where it was like country songs sung by male singers is all about, you know, horses and cowgirls and stuff like that. And then female country singers is like, oops, I killed my husband again.
Literally. Literally. I don't like a lot of country songs. That one's a cool song.
Yeah.
But the highlight of that episode to me was Dennis Franz twirling his metaphoric moustache, being all evil. I was freaking here for it. And he was only, he literally didn't even laugh. And it was literally like, he was in that episode.
Yeah.
He was like,
his acting was absolutely awful. He was the one thing I actually hated. I genuinely had a lot of fun watching this.
He was very much
the acting of
Barclay at the beginning was like pretty bad.
Pantomime bad.
Like, oh my God.
I loved it. He hammed the shit out of it. But they all did, I guess. But I was on board with the rest of them.
Yeah,
hamming it. Yes.
I thought it was a lot of fun, even though everything was pretty cliche and everything. I love the use of practical effects. I love the face is going to be the womanizer, but then he's like, not, he doesn't actually want to do that. He's just doing it.
He felt obligated.
I need to panic.
Yeah, and I loved that. It was such a flip of the script, admittedly. Yeah. I like the recording from the inside of the lock so that he can work out.
It's just like, oh, that makes sense. That's what they were doing.
Yeah,
that was really clever. There were actually a couple of really fun bits in it that I actually really, really enjoyed. Like the pop-up coffin as well.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Oh, no, we all laughed at
That was very much Murdoch's thing as well. He was the one doing it. Everyone else was making the car look shiny. He's like, I've got a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I saw the big spring and I went, what the hell? That is a seriously massive spring to put to be able to use for your chair. Yeah. And then, when I realised, I was like, oh, okay, cool. That makes sense. Yeah.
The plant side of things is absolutely stupid, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was dumb and fun.
I thought the pacing wasn't bad either. Like, it was a long episode, but the pacing wasn't the worst.
It did kind of continue to hit beats a little bit faster. Yeah. It had its slow points, but they were breathable points. I think they worked really well overall in the story. Yeah. Like, writing-wise, it was terrible, but the pacing was fantastic.
I didn't catch all of the exposition, but that was my bad because I kept tuning out.
Yeah.
That was on me.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I didn't like it, didn't understand it. It was just that I didn't want to be there.
So some of the features of A-Team are that group of misfits, the shooting without ever hitting anywhere. They're point-blank range with machine guns firing at each other. Nobody hits a thing. And, of course, that montage where they build something ridiculous. And
The terrible fight choreography.
And the car flipping where that's obviously where all the budget went.
With the fight choreography.
By four series, the series was dying because they had the same story every single episode. Exactly the same.
That's the thing. I can see it getting repetitive. But you say terrible fight choreography, but I think they were really clever with parts of it. Being able to hide the fact that Mr. T definitely did not flip that random person, but they were able to get it so that you filled in the gaps.
Yeah.
The crash map behind two cars, that's clever placement.
Yeah.
A punch to the gut and someone falls to the ground, that's terrible. But when it came to their more intricate things, I actually give them a lot of credit.
That later fight scene in the car yard was
That was quite good.
They did use camera techniques and stuff like the shaky cam. That would have been relatively early on in...
Yes.
Especially shaky for a TV show. Yes. Yeah.
And I wonder whether that some of these tropes that we laugh about now, you know, but like we talk about that with things like Monty Python, and it's like, yeah, but these guys were the ones who were doing it earlier in the piece, and then a lot of people copied.
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I wrong? I'm not sure where would these be in the big spirit. Cliches that we're making fun of. Were these guys early in the cliche, or were they... So you kind of go when they're the ones that are doing it first, you got to give them props, and then because everyone just copies them, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
It's also like we're probably used to TV having either a bigger budget or more use with their budget, so they have to hide this, this, and this in order to actually make the show work. Because if they focus on it too much, they have run out of time, or they have to spend too much money to actually make it good.
I do think there was a serious cocaine budget in this, but, you know. Come on, let's not. This is 1983 here.
What sort of white powder did you think, Murdoch, around at the beginning?
Yeah, so, Jeanette, you loved this, didn't you? So tell us what you enjoyed the most out of this.
The end.
Well played.
What, when he winked and that freeze?
I was really disappointed. I think it would have been so much funnier if they left the plant there and then Mr. T just got in the driver's seat, kicked the vehicle into gear, and then reversed over the top of it. And you just heard Murdoch yelling in the background, going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
But I think that Murdoch's supposed to have this, like, slight...
He's the softy.
No, if you consider... If you consider Murdoch as the person that's able to talk to the DM in Dungeons & Dragons, Murdoch has that sixth sense of, like, oh, I know that person actually likes the plant. Like, we're all laughing about it at the table, even though their character says they hate the plant. I think they like the plant. I like to relate shows like this back to D&D, and I think... A lot of it is a very good example of D&D with the different classes. You've got faces like a rogue and stuff and like their different skill sets. But I definitely think he's the sort of person that kind of knows what's happening because he has the script, if you will.
It's funny because we did say there's several instances where they're like, how did he know to steal that car? How did he know to go off rogue and then it all came together and it was like,
There was some level of recognition in his head when he was told about the other set of goons in that car yard. He's like, okay.
Okay, so bring in...
It seemed like he didn't know who, but he knew
I feel like if we're making our own narrative of the show, it actually worked better than what wrote at the time.
So bring in Star Wars, drink... Bad Batch. Do you think this borrows? Does Bad Batch borrow from it?
It's
a Bad Batch, so I don't know.
So, well, like you said, this goes back to things like Dirty Dozen and all that type of stuff. This is a trope as old as time, and it goes back to D&D.
Do you know what? I would give it props to Bad Batch, but I think Bad Batch takes things from other things.
Of course.
It definitely doesn't have a Master of Disguise in Bad Batch because they all bloody look the same.
No, but they do have a Mr. T. Heavy.
They do have a Mr. T. I think,
I think the idea behind them...
archetypal characters fitting together in a squad.
Yeah, that didn't fit in and with the thing. Like, and then they're on the run now from... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think there's elements.
There are elements.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say exactly the same. No, I'd definitely say there were...
But I definitely think this is a format that was... kind of carried on and then became things. And there were variations. I was seeing elements of cyberpunk and stuff. As someone who plays the tabletop role-playing game, the game is based on you have these classes with these special abilities and stuff, but it's kind of like you've got a face of the group. You've got a...
Nomad.
A strong character. Yeah, you've got the nomad driver who does a lot of that stuff and this archetype sort of thing. I mean, definitely influenced TTRPGs and stuff like that going forward. I don't know if it originated with this, as you said, Lisa. I don't know if this was the beginning of that type of...
When did the A-Team come out?
83.
Okay, so it's a little bit later, because I'd say that it draws a little bit on Star Trek.
Star Admittedly. Trek, the characters are mostly jack-of-all-trades, except
for... Yeah, like a crew,
but you've got, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say your main crew, though, could kind of fall into it a little bit.
Yeah, but they're not, like, personality archetypes. Yeah. They're functional.
Yeah.
Ships,
and it's like
we
keep going back to leverage, and it's leverage is like that,
Yeah,
leverage is like the mastermind, the hacker, the hitter, the cat burglar, you know, the grifter, it's that type of thing. Mm. And I think this is the same. It's like they've each got their job in that crew.
Mm. Yeah, it feels like it's more murder mystery, maybe.
Yeah.
More than the murder mystery sort of stuff, where it's like very specifically this, this, and this.
And it comes to that ensemble. It's very much an ensemble, but everyone's got a job to do.
Yeah.
Well, in this one, it's interesting because there's no, like, clear mechanic. They're all mechanics. They're all fixing things together and stuff, but they do still have, I don't know what the crazy person, I guess the crazy person, Murdoch, is the pilot.
He's a crazy person. He's also a pilot.
Yeah. So they've got a driver, a pilot, a smooth talker, and then, the kind of master of disguise who would probably be like the cat burglar,
so
usually.
So is he the hitter or is he
He's the driver and hitter and stuff like that, yeah.
He's the one that brings the biff.
Yeah.
He's kind of got... Murdoch, kind of the trickster character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those two, I think, are the most compelling characters because they've got those two aspects to the characters. They've got at least two things going on. But I felt like Face was a little bit one-dimensional, as was the Master of Disguise.
I thought Face... Initially, I was expecting Australian accent, just with the way he looked. But he was that classically handsome Prince Charming type with the blonde hair.
To be honest, he fit in very well with the used car salesman archetype that he played in this episode. It was just like,
I was going to say, I didn't think that was a disguise until I realised afterwards that's not what he's usually like. It's like slick sales dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've already answered the question, would this survive with modern audiences?
Oh, no.
No.
But then if they modernised it like they did with the movie,
The movie didn't do amazing.
But it didn't completely
I enjoyed it. It fit the arc time. They kept the characters, they improved on the characters, but it was kind of a prequel story, the movie. It was set in the war that they kind of ran away from before this show took place. The situation is them meeting for the first time, them doing a little bit of war stuff, and then them leaving the war and then becoming fugitives from the US military. And that's risky.
Yeah. As always, yeah. I would really like to see this redone again, maybe more modernised, with potentially a World War III of people running away going, no, I don't want to do that, maybe, and seeing what they could do now as more of a political standpoint, sort of platform, there we go, as more of a political platform, because I think it could be really interesting. Set it all in Russia
and have them be anti-Putin's regime.
Yes. I'd love to see if people could do a better job nowadays, because we've got definitely better writing techniques and different filming techniques.
Well, this showrunner, I looked him up at the end because I recognised the name and he did so much. But it's like, yeah, 21 Jump Street, and he just churned out TV series.
These TV series are made in... That's probably 2 days filming.
Yeah, and then on to the next one, smash out another.
You know, it would have been so quickly done.
Yeah.
Which is kind of impressive, because the amount of budget they would have had for the amount of cars they crashed and vehicles they totaled.
Yeah.
They would have just,
they kept things low budget, so then they could put all of the budget into the car flipping, you know?
Yes.
I'm sure they probably got, like, designed cars that can crash a dozen times and still work. Yeah.
And well, the car that they flipped, all the body, the police car that they flipped at the end, the body on that was just
totaled. Yeah. But the interesting thing about cars from that time, really sorry, I know this, is cars from this current time has got crumple zones because it's better for things like car accidents, so that you don't constantly get whiplash or things. Yeah. But originally it was made of heavy steel and stuff, especially the ones that they were driving. So everything in a car would be fine. You just kind of like buff it out. And so those cars were probably reused over and over just again. Just replace
the bodywork and the interiors.
The better cars that are kind of off to a side, like that random red car, the van, and the... what was the Faces car?
The Corvette.
Yeah, it was a Corvette. And there was a Porsche 911 in there as well.
Like, they had expensive cars on that set for this episode.
Yeah, and I'd say that they were just kind of like background props, if anything.
Yeah.
Whereas the ones that they were flipping, going through car chases, they were all very specifically that type of car that you would see in Hollywood that was what they would use.
They had whole TV series at this time that were based around cars. Dukes of Hazzard.
We also came up with the Blues Brothers was another one.
I don't think you'd be able to do this in kind of a modern environment. Just
because of the crumple zones.
The crumple zones. Just destroy the cars.
Yeah.
Whereas these cars are, as you said, probably still relatively recoverable.
Yeah, you'd completely destroy the current day cars. Yeah.
But like you said, you buff it out, give it a paint job, and you can use it for the next job.
Yeah, whereas the current cars, you have to replace... You'd potentially whole areas because it's supposed to be safer in accident.
I do wonder if you could probably fake it a bit by having plastic instead of metal.
They've probably got ways. I might deep dive and look into how they do car accidents. 3D print a
fake car and then car cap.
So they can
basically these days just... they just CGI it too. And
At this point in time, but if you wanted to do practical effects, I don't think you could A-team it and not do practical effects.
Yeah.
If you were to write it now. And I think that's what kind of helps it stand up in my mind, is that they're doing practical effects, they're doing it in such a dodgy way that is still enjoyable to watch.
Because Cousin 2, like, if they had anything like that today, you'd try and fake it or have it in... not actually have a car crashing. You'd actually make it more safe and make, like, a miniature or miniature a CG or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's giving, like, student art house film, I guess. People having fun. Food.
God. God damn it. I forget about this segment every single time. It's something
cheesy,
like...
cheesy.
Yeah, it's...
a cheesecake?
Oh, God, no. No, I'd probably go... something like not great for you. Maybe like a guilty pleasure or something like that you like just put on in the background.
Something like that. Or something like really greasy, like a hot dog, like a and you love it when you eat it, and then afterwards you feel like, oh, why, man? That was an hour of my life, I'm not going to get back.
Sorry, a cheese hot dog.
I was going to say, like, gods. Yeah, that's very American, isn't it? Cheese dog. I don't think I've ever had one. I was going to say cheeseburger because it's the only thing I've got a point of reference.
What about a dippy dog? Dagwood dog?
Yeah.
No idea what that is.
No idea.
I've got no idea.
No, never had one.
There we go. Something super American, super bad for you.
Yeah.
Something that makes you feel a bit gross afterwards. Not great for the bowel, because it will give you the proverbial.
I'm just here going, am I a bad guy? Because I love
it. And you know what? I think it's always great when we have something that some people love and some people hate. Yes. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Because I was trying
to see. I can't say I love it.
I can't believe how much I actually enjoyed it. Honestly.
I try to see the plus side and stuff.
We're
going to
go off and watch all five seasons back to back.
We are not. Enjoy that, will you?
You've already seen all five seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've watched it all in one episode.
We've watched them all.
Yeah. Now we've watched one, we know exactly what the rest kind of
the only fun bit is what crazy thing are they going to create next, you know.
Yeah. I think it would be kind of fun to watch the episode where they do their craft of the episode is the dresses and uniforms for like the school pageants
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there is an episode where they do that. They're in a sewing shop and they have to quickly sew together some dresses and things.
So you keep saying this. I'd love to see that episode. Yeah.
Why didn't we watch that episode?
It's not representative. It's kind of true. The needle in the haystack, which is regretful.
It's taking the bag out of their own.
Yeah, out of their own format, out of their own macho thing, and then bring it down to a more human level, which would have been fun, but...
So, just for the record, and God help my Google searches over the last couple of hours, B.A. Baracus never actually said, "I pity the fool."
Oh, really?
It was said by his character Clubber Lang in Rocky 3. It's completely different character. Okay.
He'd quite often be going, "Don't do that, fool."
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So that was like his thing.
Yeah.
So I did say before when watching the episode, one of the things that I love about Mr. T is that he named himself Mr. T, so then every white man would have to call him Mr.
Which is great.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
So with a cheesy grin and a cheesy wink, shall we wrap up, say goodbye?
I will cheesily wink at a plant if there's one around.
Oh yeah, we've got some salt bushes.
We'll wink it at the plants.
Wink at the plant.
Yeah.
And drive off into the sunset.
Yeah.
I love it when a podcast comes together.
And now we're freeze frame winking and putting our thumbs up. Okay, yeah, let's go. No one can see it, but I'm doing the action.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.